Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Tzaddi Tet. Today's daf has been dedicated in honor of Jack and Marilyn Shchebar, dedicated by their son Isaac. Hashem alehim yichyu, amen. Today's daf has been dedicated to Ilun Nishmat, Hacham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tanichem began Eden, amen. We are beginning on Daf Tzadi Het Amud Bet, and we start four lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday in the Mishnah, Omed Adam b'reshut ha-yachid u'metaltel b'reshut ha-rabim. We said a person is allowed to stand in one domain and move objects in the second domain. For example, a person is standing on a roof, for example, and he puts his hand down. It's a small roof. The roof is considered reshut ha-yachid. He's able to put his hand down and move objects in the reshut ha-rabim below. And the Mishnah said that that is permissible. We don't make a gezerah that he might come and bring the object to him. If he brings the object to him, that means he's picking an object up under the Shut Rabim and bringing it into the Shut Yahid. That's the Sudo Raita. Hadush of the Mishnah is we don't make such a Gezerah, but you're not allowed to move it more than 4 Amot into the Shut Rabim itself. You can only move it less than 4 Amot. So comes again and says, Matni le Rav Hanina bar Shalam Ya Lihiya bar Rav Kameh de Rav. So Rav Hanina bar Shalam Ya had a different version of our Mishnah. Matnile. He taught the Mishnah in front of Rav. And what, how did he teach the Mishnah? Lo ya'amod Adam b'reshut ha-yachid u'metaltel b'reshut ha-rabim. He had a different gezerah. He said, lo yitaltel. You can't do what we just said. You can't stand in one domain and move an object in a second domain. Amarle. So Rav tells him, Shavakt Rabbanan va'avad k'rabim Meir. So you left the opinion of the Hachamim, and you went and you learned the Mishnah, following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Why, where do we see that Rabbi Meir is Mahmir? Because if you're going to see later on in Daf Kuf Aleph, the Gemara Mishnah there discusses a case, another Mishnah, discusses a case in the name of Rabbi Meir. Person is standing in one reshut, and there's a door in another reshut. And the key is in that reshut. So the Mishnah says you should not stick your hand over into the other reshut to pick up the key to open the door. Why? Rabbi Meir says, Gezerah, you might bring the key towards you. So the Gemara is assuming that just like that opinion clearly is Rabbi Meir, because he makes a Gezerah to bring the key in, so the Rabbi Meir would also hold that a person for that matter cannot go and do anything from one reshut to another reshut. And therefore, by the rabbi having a different text in the Mishnah by saying, Lo Ya'amod Adam, that means he's making the Mishnah like Rabbi Meir. So the Rab tells him, well, you left the opinion of the rabbis now, and you're making the case like Rabbi Meir. So comes the Gemara and says, Hu Savar, he held, Medesefa Rabbi Meir, Reshanami Rabbi Meir. So he said like this, well, since we find that in the later Mishnayot, on Daf Kuf Aleph, which is really one long continuation of the cases of our Mishnah, since clearly it says over there, by the key case, Devei Rabbi Meir, so we thought also that this case also was following the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that what indeed makes a Gezerah, that you can't stand in one issue and do something in another issue. We're just trying to keep the consistency in the Mishnayot. So comes Gemara and says, "Velai," and the truth is it's not so. Sefer Rabbi Meir v'Rabbanan. That Mishnah, yes, but the key is clearly following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. However, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbanan, and therefore the proper text is as we have it, that says it is permissible to move an item from one reshut to another reshut. Comes the Gemara and continues, Bilvad Shelo Yotzi Hutz. So the Mishnah made a condition that while it's permissible to stand in one domain and move the items into another domain, however, Bilvad Shelo Yotzi Hutz, which means you're not allowed to move the object more than 4 amot in the place where it is. Meaning if you're standing in the Shuta Yahid, you cannot move that object more than Dalet Amot, because then you're moving something for Amot in Reshut HaRabim, which is clearly is Asur. So comes again what Ran says, Ha-Hotzi Hayav Hatat, implying that what? That if he would move the object more than for Amot in the Reshut HaRabim, he's going to be indeed Hayav Hatat. Lema Messiah Le Rava. Let this be a proof to the opinion of Rava. Why, what did Rava say? Dama Rava, Hama'avir Hefes Mitqidat Arba Lesof Arba. Person moved an object in the Reshut HaRabim from the beginning of four Amot to the end of four Amot, Ve'arviro Derech Adav. But he moved it when it was on him, which means above him, which is Mekom Petur. Because above Ten Tefachim in the Reshut HaRabim is considered Mekom Petur. So he went from point A in the Reshut HaRabim to point B. However, it went to the air of A, Mekom Petur. And what does Rava say? Hayav. So therefore, that would be a proof, because Al Mishnah is also saying the same thing. When you're standing in one Reshut, right, the object is Reshut HaRabim, you're moving the Hefetz from one place to another. It's Mashmash also, it's above Ten Tefachim, and therefore, you're going from four Amot Reshut HaRabim Derech Mekom Petur. And what is the Mishnah Mashma? Hayav. So that's a proof too, Rava, that when you go four Amot in Reshut HaRabim Derech Mekom Petur, you're Hayav. So the Gemara says, Mi Ketani Imotzi Hayav Hatat? Who told you? The Mishnah never said that you're going to be Hayav Hatat in a case where you actually moved it for Amot. Dilma imotzi patura balasur. Maybe the implication of the Mishnah is supposed to be that if you did move it for Amot, it's only Asur, then a banan, patura balasur. So you have no proof for Rava that says Hayav Hatat. That's one version. Ikada'am is similar in a different way. Ha'otzi patura balasur. Some make the implication from the inception of our Mishnah that if you moved it for Amot, indeed you're going to be Patur aval asur. So the Gemara says, "Lemete veti uftad Rava." So if you're learning Patur aval asur, now it's a question on Rava. Da amar Rava ma'abir mitchilat dalid and sof dalid nevirot derech halav hayav. Because Rava is the one that says if you move something in the Reshut HaRabim derech mekom petur, you're going to be hayav. And the Gemara is not making the implication to our Mishnah that you'd be patur. So the Gemara says, "Mi ketani yotzi patur aval asur?" The Rav Mishnah said, if you move it for Amot, you're going to be patur aval asur. Dilma, imotzi hayav hatat. Maybe the implication is supposed to be hayav hatat. So therefore, according to the two versions of our Gemara, one's bringing a proof to Rava, and one's bringing a question to Rava. Basically, it's not conclusive. You can't bring a conclusive proof from our Mishnah to what Rava says. Clearly, Rava holds the Reshut HaRabim, Dalet Amot Derech Mekom Petur, is Hayav. That is no argument. The question is the implication of our Mishnah. So if you say the implication of our Mishnah is Hayav, bingo, there's your proof. The Gemara, who said? Maybe the implication is Patur. Right? So therefore, the Gemara leaves that in a Sefik, if it is a proof or not. Lo Yamod Adam Reshut Yachid. Okay, what do we say? We said in the next case in the Mishnah, a person cannot stand in the private domain and either urinate into the Reshut HaRabim or spit into the Reshut HaRabim, going from one domain to the other. That would be clear Hotza'ah. So Amar Rav Yosef, Hishtin Verak Hayav Hatat. And if a person did that, that was Mashtin, or he was Raki Spat, from one Reshut to the other, he's going to be Hayav Hatat. Gebra says, what do you mean? V'haba'inan akira v'anaha me'al gabe makom dalet v'leka. In the case of, let's say, where he's urinating from one domain to the other, we always know, you know, to be Hayav Hatat, you need an Akira from a Makom Hashuv. Makom Hashuv means it has to be at least 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim. Right? You have to lift it up from a Makom Hashuv and deposit it. So therefore, in a chename, it's going to land in the Reshut HaRabim on the ground. But where it's emanating from the person's body, that is not 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim. So it should not be considered an Akira min Reshut HaYachid. Because from the area it comes out, it's a small little area. It's not 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim. So I can tell you're going to be Hayav Hatat. So the Gemara says, Machshavto Mashviya Le Makom. Like we learned in Masechet Shabbat, the concept of Achsheve, which means since it's important to you, so therefore that place becomes significant even if it is a small place. Meaning it's important for the person to eject the Meraglayim from his body. Right? He doesn't want to keep that in his system. And therefore, for him, getting rid of it from that place is considered hashuv to him. And therefore, even if the area is less than 4 by 4 to 5, it's considered what? That he's being oker mimakom hashuv, and therefore he's going to be hayav. Comes the Gemara and says, actually, I read the words of Rashi for you, machshavto shu tzarik lekach, because he needs it, Because if you're not going to say this principle, that which we learned in Masechet Shabbat in the name of Rava, Zarak, a person threw an object, and it landed in the mouth of a dog, or it landed, let's say, in the furnace. Hayav Hatat. The Gemara says in the name of Rabbah, Hayav Hatat. Now what do you mean? The mouth of a dog is not 4x4, Tefahim, because it's Hayav. What do you mean? You need the Hanah on the place of Dalet. The Gemara says, Ela Machshavto, Mashviyala Makom. We answer that since you wanted it to land over there, so to you, the mouth of the dog is considered Hashuv, and therefore it's considered Ki'ilu, it's Makom Dalet. So just like over there we said it, Hakaname, Machshava, Mashviyala Makom. So now comes the Gemara and asks the question. Ba'e Rava. Rava is a she'ela. What's the she'ela? Hu birshut yahid. He is standing in the rishut yahid. Upi ama birshut rabim. However, his ever is projected into the rishut harabim. So now the question is, where do you consider, how do you consider this case? Do you consider him, he goes after the body? And since it goes after the body, I don't care where the Eved is, and therefore he's going from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim, well, do you say no, you go after the Eved? And since the Eved is in the Rishut Rabim, you're going just from Rishut Rabim to Rishut Rabim itself. If it's less than 4 amot, you have no problem. So comes the Gemara and says, Mahu, Batar Akira Azlinan, or Batar Yitzia Azlinan? Do you go where it emanated from the Akira, so it's Oker from the body? So therefore, the body is in the shoot, hayahid, and therefore it went into the shoot, tarabim yahayab. Or do you go batari yitzi'ah? Meaning it left from the evid itself. The evid is in the shoot, tarabim. So therefore, where do you consider where it's leaving from? Look at Rashi, batar akira, mina guf azlinan, vehen ne'akarin mina halal shel guf. Right, it's emanating from the body itself, the hayav, the motzim in a guf should reshut yachid reshut rabim. Or batar yitzia, she yotze min a guf memenu, vare pi ama reshut rabim, ven kar akira reshut yachid. So Gemara says, Tiku, this question we have to leave for Eliyahu Hanavi. Comes the Gemara and says, vechen lo yarok. Right, the Gemara said, a person should not spit from one domain to the other domain. Rabbi Yehuda omer, then Rabbi Yehuda added and said what? That for that matter, when a person has ruch in his mouth that's collected with his intention to spit, so he's not allowed to walk in the Rishut HaRabim because that's considered carrying. So comes the Gemara and says, Afal gav delo hafichba, even though he didn't swirl it around, which means it's mashma, but once it comes in his mouth, even though he didn't swirl it around, at that point, immediately, you're going to be hayav. The Gemara says, what do you mean? How could you tell me even if you didn't swirl it around? Why? The Gemara says, Ve'atenan, haya ochel devela biyadayim mishu'arot. This is the case. A guy's eating a devela. He has a fig. Okay? It's tiruma. He's eating it with yadayim mishu'arot, with dirty hands. Meaning his hands are a sheni letum'ah. Now, a sheni is able to make tiruma a shelishi. Only problem is, the hands were dry. And we learned many times that in order for a fruit to become tamer, it has to be mukshar first with a liquid. So therefore, his hands touching the debela is not going to do anything to the debela. But what happened? V'chnish yado letoch piv litol sror. He had, let's say, a pebble or some little stone in his mouth. How it got there? So he took his hand and he put it in his mouth to take out the stone. So now what happens? Now his hand has some saliva on it. So therefore the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir metameh. Rabbi Meir says, now your hands have that saliva. Now when you touch the devela is considered mukshar, and therefore it's going to make it a chirishi. Right? So comes the Gemara and says, but Rabbi Yosef mitahir. Rabbi Yosef says, no, this case of etahor. Why? Because he holds, as long as the rok is considered, it's in your mouth, the saliva is not considered a mashke. It's not considered a beverage that has the ability to be makshir. Right? It's part of your body. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rabbi Yehuda makes a hailuk. Hipech ba tameh. If you swirled it around in your mouth already, which is a clear indication that what? You want to get rid of it, so now it's considered a mashkeh, because it's no longer considered part of your body, therefore has the ability to be makshir the fruit. Loi pekba tahor. But if you didn't swirl it in your mouth, so therefore it's still considered part of your body, therefore it is tahor. So therefore we have a stira between Rabbi Yehuda in the laws of Tumat, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah of Shabbat it said what? Once it's in your mouth, even before you swirled it, you're intending it to get rid of it, it's carrying. Whereas the laws of Tumat said no, it's not considered ejected from your body until you swirl it. So how do you answer? So Amar Rabbi Yohanan, muhlefet ashita. Switch the shita. Now the Rashi has a big hadush. Normally the way you learn muhlefet ashita is that fine, switch the opinions. Which means instead of saying the Yehuda is the one that learns in, by the case of Tumat, swirling or not swirling, ipuch nebu, so change it, that's not a Yehuda. Put another rabbi there in that opinion, and put the Yehuda, the first opinion that says, it doesn't matter, once it's in your mouth, it's considered a the mashkeh. That's normally a mukhlef it works. We change the opinions around to make the, to solve the contradiction. However, that she learns over here a little different. That's the way that Rabbi Yochanan incidentally learns this mukhlef it ashita, like every other normal mukhlef it ashita. That she learns, Rabbi Yehuda retracted. Mukhlef it, he changed. Which means, you're right, in Masechet Shabbat, he didn't give us a haluk between swirling and not swirling. Mapech, not papech. When he got to laws of Tum'ah, he changed his mind. And therefore, that was a second opinion. And the latter opinion was, you need hipuch. And therefore, it's not considered ejected out of your body until you have it in your mouth and you're swirling it around. Now it's considered carrying. So that would be a special condition to add to our Mishnah. The Shakish Amar, the Shakish says, Le'olam lo tachlif. Don't switch anything. Keep everything as it is. V'achem b'ma'askinan b'kiho. And what are we talking about over here? B'kiho. What does b'kiho mean? Look at Ashi. Lo tachlif. Lo tema mukhlefetu. De matniti de kamar afagav de lo ipech. We're talking about where it's phlegm. It's not mere saliva. And therefore, there's a difference between, let's say, phlegm and saliva. Saliva, when normally you keep in your mouth, so until you swirl it around, that's not consistent, it's part of your body, until you swirl it. But shaking phlegm, the guy's definitely not keeping it in his mouth. So therefore, once it comes into his mouth, it's considered already carrying. We're making a haluk between rok and kiho. Gemara says, "V'at Tanya, but what are you talking about? How could you make that haluk? We have a bright that it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kiho v'nitlash. It says a person has his kiho v'nitlash, and it was uprooted from his body. What's the question? As she says, Lo yalech dalet amot. Person should not walk dalet amot ad shiyarok until he spits it out. And the Gemara says, My love. Rok vinitlash. Which means, it's Rashba over here that what? That the same thing would be applying to not only tikiho, but also to rok. Which means it's mashma that you don't have to swirl it around. Now you tell me that the deen of the, there's a haluk between kiho and rok. Kiho, immediately once it comes into your mouth, it's considered yakar. However, rok, it depends. You have to swirl. So the Gemara, what do you mean? But we have a braita, and the braita is mashma, it's not making a chiluk between rok and kiho. So the Gemara says, no, kiho v'nitlash. Only kiho v'nitlash. But rok, it's got to be nitlash and hipuch. You have to swirl it. The Gemara says, ve'at tanya, we have another braita that says to be with Elmer, kiho shenitlash v'chen roko shenitlash. Clearly says that kiho and rok, once it's uprooted from the body, meaning it's in the mouth. Lo yalech dal ramot achiyarok. So we're back to the question again. So the Gemara says, "Elam mechaberetaka d'nashinam meikara." I have to go back to the first answer and say the Yehuda retracted, meaning there is no difference between rok and kiho. Both, once they come into your mouth, you still have to swirl it in order to make it considered that it is carrying, or you have to swirl it to be considered a mashkeh to be makshir the fruit. And we have to say that Yehuda retracted from his opinion in Masechet Shabbat, in the Mishnah, Mukhlefet, and therefore he holds like the second thing that he said. Comes again when and says, Amar Rish Lakish, Ki Hakiyach Bifne Rabbo Hayav Mita. If a person brought phlegm up and spit in front of his rabbi, he's Hayav Mita. Mita bide shamayim. Shene emar, kol misanai ehabu mavet. All those that hate me, God says, love death. Al tekre limsanai, ela limasniai. Call it the ones that make me hated. Which means when a Tamid Hakam acts in a disgusting way by spitting and all that, so it causes other people to hate, Chas v'Shalom, the Torah, and to hate the religion. They say, oh, I guess Chalul Hashem is spitting and is disgusting. So the person says, Masni'a, you're causing me to be hated, Ehabu Mavet. They love death. Meaning they're going to get Mita, Bidei Shamayim. So the Gemara says, what do you want from the guy? The Gemara says, Ve'ha Minas Anis. What do you want? The guy is sick. Meaning he cannot control himself. If he has phlegm, if he has a cough, if he has a problem, so how could you tell him Hayav Mita? That she says Shal Korcho, who it's happening against his will. Ayde Choli or Atzina, what's cold outside or something like that. So how could you tell me if he draws phlegm? So right, Hayav Mita. So he comes again in front of his rabbi. So Gemara says, Kiyach Verak Ka'amrenan. We're talking about over here, and it just drew it into his mouth. He spat it out in front of his rabbi. Which is one thing for him to have a sickness, so then the halakha would be, let him put it in a tissue, or let him turn his head away. But to bring it up, that's out of your control. But to go spit it out, that already is considered contemptuous in front of the rabbi. It's not derech eretz, not kavod, and therefore it's considered hayav mita. As she says, either he should have went somewhere else, or he should have swallowed it in his garment, which he's not doing in front of the rabbi. Okay, comes the next Mishnah. We had this also in Masechet Shabbat. A person should not stand in one domain and drink into another domain. For example, you have a well, let's say, in another domain. So you stick your head over, and you're drinking from the well, from the other domain. B'reshut Rabbim v'yishteh b'reshut Yachid. Of that matter, the opposite. From the Reshut Rabbim to the Reshut Yachid. Ela imken echnis rosho v'rubo'o le'makom shu shoteh. Unless he put the majority of his body into the domain where he's drinking, then already it is permissible. Otherwise, we make a gezerah. What's the gezerah? You're worried that you might bring the cup towards you, right? Because you're drinking. So the Gemara says, v'chen begat. And the same thing applies to a gat, to a wine press. The Gemara will explain exactly what this vechen, the gat, means. Comes the Gemara and says, Resha Rabbanah v'sefar Rabbi Meir. What do you mean? We just learned in the previous Mishnah that you're allowed to stand in one domain and move items less than 4 amot, so long as you don't bring it towards you. And we don't make a gezerah that you're going to bring it towards you. Here, when it comes to water, you cannot stand in one domain and drink in the other domain. So you tell me what? That's following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Which means we learned that Rabbi Meir was the one that was Mahmir from one domain to the other domain. Just like we're going to learn later on, Rabbi Meir is going to say the case of the key. Right? You can't sit in one domain and open a door, because they might bring the key back to you. But according to the rabbis, it's permissible. Which means you're allowed to stand in one domain and move objects in another domain. So the Gemara says what? You started off the first Mishnah with the Banan's opinion, being lenient. Now you give me opinion of Rabbi Meir that you can't drink water from one domain to the other domain. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, b'chafetzin shesirichino v'devrei hakol. Even the rabbis would agree to this Mishnah. Why? Because on items that you need, necessity items, like water, even the rabbis agree you can't stand in one domain or the other and drink to the other. Why? Because they goes in, you might bring the water towards you. Because water is an essential item. Hafetzim ha-sidichim lo. Our Mishnah that said when you're standing in one domain you can move objects, it was talking about non-essential items. Yeah, you're moving stamp things, you know, a guy doesn't have such a concern to bring them towards him. But in cases of, you know, vital necessity like water, even the rabbis will tell you don't stand in one domain and drink in the other domain, gezerah. Unless you put your whole body or the majority of your body over, then it would be permissible. Comes the Gemara and says, Ibaya lehu. Gemara has a question, Karmelit mai. Oh, what if you're standing in one domain and the water is in a Karmelit? Okay, do we make the same gezerah? Now, really, you're not allowed to go from a karmeli to a reshut yachid midrabbanan. Okay, or let's say a karmeli to a reshut rabbi midrabbanan. So we're going to make the same gezerah that he can't stand in one domain and drink from a karmelit. So Amar Abaye, he. Meaning it's the same thing. Just like we make a gezerah from the reshut yachid to reshut rabbi, we make gezerah from the reshut yachid to a karmelit. Amar Ava, he gufa gezerah. V'anan nikum v'negzor gezerah l'gezerah. Because what are you talking about? If you would actually go from a reshut yachid to a karmelit direct, it's only yisud rabbanan. Now you're going to come and make a gezerah l'gezerah. You're going to say, not only is it a sur to go from a reshut yachid to a karmelit, but you can't even stand in a reshut yachid over a karmelit to drink. That's a gezerah l'gezerah. It's a double gezerah. Because even if you would go direct, it's only yisud the rabbanan. So therefore, Rava's asking on Abaye. So Amar Abaye, mina amina la. He says, where do I know this from? Mediketani, from the fact that the Mishnah ended with two words, vechen begat, and so too by the wine press. What is the wine press? So the way Abaye is learning, he's saying, what do you have to tell me this case for? What mean vechen begat? What is the status of the gat? If the gat is in the shuti yachid, you told me that case already. He can't stay from the shuti rabim and drink to the shuti yachid. If it's reshut rabim, you told me that case as well. So what did you tell me, vechen begat, that so too by a wine press, you can't stand in one domain and drink wine from the wine press in another domain? Must be the gat is not a reshut yachid, not a reshut rabim, must be a third reshut. Must be it is a karmelit. Oh, and what is the Mishnah saying? Vechen begat, that so too you cannot stand in one domain and go over a karmelit and drink. So Abaye says, what do you want from me? The Mishnah says that case. Vechen begat is teaching me the status of a karmelit. So comes the Gemara and says, Verava Amar, how is Rava going to learn? Because Rava says karmelit is mutar. How does he learn the words vechen begat? So he's going to hold like this. The words vechen begat have nothing to do with the laws of Shabbat. Vechen begat, the Gemara is making a correlation to the laws of ma'asir. Which means, when it comes to the laws of ma'asir, you have to give 10% to the Levi. Until you give the 10%, stable. You can't eat this food. However, the halakha says that you're allowed to eat what's called achilat alai. You're allowed to have temporary eating, which means if you have a snack or, you know, not permanent eating, then already, even before you gave your ma'asir, it's okay. So now the discussion is going to be over here. You have a gat, you have a wine press, it's filled with wine. You didn't give your ma'asir. So we're going to discuss now the extent of the heter of what you're allowed to drink from this gat, and it's still considered alai, where it's not a problem. So the Gemara says, "Vechen amar av sheshat, vechen begat te'anyan ma'aser." Ditna, because we learned in the Mishnah, shotin al hagat. The first opinion says you're allowed to drink over the gat. This is not on a Shabbat. This is on a Tuesday. This is a din of ma'aser. Ben b'hamin, ben b'sonin, upatur. Which means, so long as you're drinking over the gat, that's considered a temporary way of drinking. Normally people, they don't drink over the press itself. So the nature of the drinking is considered temporary, even though you diluted the wine. Either whether you dilute it with cold water, or whether you dilute it with hot water, according to the first opinion, which is Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir, he says, that's considered achilat arai. Now you'll see the difference between cold water and hot water in a moment. Rabbi Eliezer ben Sadok mehayev. He says, no. Doesn't matter. Once you dilute it, you're considered achilat keva, because that's the way you normally drink wine, and therefore it's going to be asur. V'chamim omrim ala hamin hayav v'lasonen patur. He says, if you drink with hot water dilution, you're going to be hayav. If you make the dilution with cold water, you're going to be patur. Mipnei shemachzir et ha-motar. Because when you dilute it with cold water, if you didn't finish the cup that you took, what are you going to do with the water? You'll pour it back into the press. Because the cold water that is diluted in the wine doesn't ruin the water that's in the press. But if you dilute it with hot water, you're not pouring it back in the press if there's leftover, because the hot water is going to ruin and spoil the wine. So therefore, he wants to say, if you made a dilution with cold, it's considered arai. You take the sip and you pour the stuff back. But if you dilute it with hot, that's already considered, okay, well, that's the shita of the hakamim. And now we go back to interpret our Mishnah. When the Mishnah said, vechen begat, which means the same law that applies to Shabbat, that if your majority of your body is over the area, you can drink, so too by the law of Gat, of the Maaser. Now let's read Rashi inside. Let's read the Rashi. Third line. Shotin ala Gat. Omed al Hagat, a person can stand over the press, veshote, and drink. That's the first opinion. So long as you didn't bring it, you know, away from the press, lavshtiyat kebahu. Upatu min ma'asir. Ben shemaz go behamin, ben shemaz go betzunin. That's the bimid. The press area shows the, ariyut of it, the temporariness of it. Mehayev, bimziga shemaz go behamin, mishabiyat keba. The second opinion says, no. Once you dilute, whether it was hot or cold, that's already permanent. Ala hamin hayav, the rabbis make a hiluk. Hamin, you're going to be hayav. Why? The end ra'u la'azor amotar. It's not shayach to put the leftovers back in. Shemekalkel hayayin. Hilkach, ki mazagle b'hamin, ada'atel mishteye kule mazagle, u'mishavel mizigat keva. Now you're drinking the whole cup. That's already a keva type of drinking, because you're not pouring the leftovers back. Aba, mizigat sonen. Lo mazviya le keba. Dilma shate purta. Maybe I'll just take a sip. Umadir, and I'll pour the leftovers back. Hilka kolkama de shate ave arai. Now, umatnitin diktani vechen begat. The opinion that said vechen begat, Rabbi Meir hi. It's following the opinion of Rabbi Meir that what? Veketani lo yamod al gabe karka viyeshte begat. Pelo afrashat maset elem ken ichnis lo shovru bo legat. Which is, when was Rabbi Meir lenient, that if you're over the gat, that it's always considered arai, just like the law of Shabbat. The law of Shabbat is not only when Rosho Verubo is in the other domain, the chem begat. That when your Rosho Verubo is over the wine press, then according to the Bimi Ir, you can drink it, whether it's diluted with hot or whether it's diluted with cold. But even a Bimi Ir would say, if your majority is not over the gat, it's going to be considered Kerban, it's going to be Asur. So Rava says, where did you see Karmelit? Karmelit is not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Gat is not a Halchot Shabbat case to tell you that a Karmelit is also Asur to drink in one domain to the other domain. It's a din of Maaseh. So therefore you have no proof. So comes the Rebbe Mahlok, a very important Mahlok, din Abayin Rava, how to learn this Mishnah. When you see the words Vechen Begat, is it a Shabbat law? Meaning, is it the din of a Karmelit and it's also Asur? Or is it a Maaseh law, and therefore from Karmelit would be permissible? Comes the Gemishnah and says, now as an introduction to the next Mishnah, we have to just review exactly how they used to have the roofs in the olden days. The roofs used to be flat, so the water would collect. So what they would do is that towards the side of the roof they would put like a little slant, let's say, or they would put like little gutters in the roof itself, like pipes, that the water would fall into these pipes, and those pipes would fall into a mazhila. A mazhila is like a gutter that we would have on the side of a house. It's attached to the side of the roof, and the water would go into that gutter and then trickle down off the roof. Some would use a tzinor. That's a pipe. The pipe would actually start from the roof and would go all the way down the side of the roof, and the nozzle of the pipe, the head of the pipe, would be opened up into the reshut harabim. So now we're going to discuss, on Shabbat, you want to drink water. Okay, either from the gutter, the water that's falling from the gutter, or the water that's falling from the pipe. An accurate picture of what we're looking at, I'm going to ask you to look at the art scroll for a more accurate picture on whatever page you have it on. I have it in Sadi Tit 1 over here, where you see on the one of the pictures, you see a gutter that's really just off the roof. You see a flat roof that has, on the roof itself, they had like little furrows in the roof itself that the water would collect in, and it would just slide into the mazhila, right? And then from there it would just fall off the roof. And in the second case, you see that they actually just have a pipe, right? That's a tsinor. And the pipe, the leader, so the water goes down there and falls into the shoot, harabim. That's the first thing you have. That's the mitziut. All right? Now there's another thing. There's two ways of catching water. One way is to be kolet. Kolet is where you just stand there with a bucket and you let the water go through the avir, through the air, and you catch it. That's called kolet. Or there's matzref. What is matzref? Matzref would be where you're putting your mouth by the opening of the pipe or the opening of the mashela. You're going direct. Or you're putting the keli directly at the lip of the gutter or directly at the lip of the pipe. That would be called matzrif. Okay, so now we're going to discuss the law of drinking water, of collecting water from either a mazhila, a gutter, or a leader, the sinor, and we're going to discuss the different ways, through haklata, catching it, or through tziruf. So now the Mishnah says, kolet adam min mazhila levata me'asara tefachim. A person is allowed to stand in the Rishut Rabbim. That's on the ground, of the, not on the roof, he's on the ground, with a bucket, and he's allowed to catch the water that falls off the roof, right? He is lemata me'asara tefachim. He's considered in the Rishut Harabim. So he's not doing anything. He's just catching the water, and the water is landing in the Rishut Harabim. Now he can take it and drink it. No problem. Ve'umin ha-tzinor mikol makom shoteh. And from the tzinor, he can drink anyway. Not only can he be kolet, because then the Rishut Rabim, because really the tzinor isn't the Rishut Rabim. The tzinor all goes all the way down, and its nozzle, its open, isn't the Rishut Rabim. So for sure he can just collect the water, no problem. He can even put his mouth to the pipe itself, because it's still in the Rishut Rabim. But he would not be allowed to put his mouth to the gutter. Why? Because if he's putting his mouth to the gutter, or the bucket to the gutter, the gutter, we're going to see, is be considered in some cases a reshut hayachid. Why? Let's say the gutter is within three tefachim of the roof. Using the principle of lavud, so now it's considered roof. Now if you're going to go up there, you have your bucket, right? You're going to collect the water, that's considered you're taking water from a reshut hayachid. Now you're going to go down and drink it, you're in a reshut harabim. So therefore, matzref would be asur by the case of a mazhila, by a gutter. But haklata would be okay. If I'm staying in the Rishut Rabim, I'm just holding the bucket, so what, the water is going, even if it's going from the Rishut Yahid, it's going, the Rishut Yahid, in the airspace of the Mekom Petur, I did nothing, I just caught it. That would be permissible. But to go up there and put the bucket to the lip of the Mashkana would be Asur. However, by a Tzinor, what's the difference? The Tzinor isn't the Rishut Rabim to start off with. So what's the difference if I catch the water, or if I put the bucket directly to the lip of the Tzinor itself, it is going to be permissible. So now the Gemara analyzes. Gemara says, kolet in. By the case of the mazhila, by the gutter, it's permissible to be kolet. Right? That's to catch the water. Aval matzref, no. But to put the bucket at the lip of the mazhila is going to be forbidden. Gemara says, maitama. What should be the reason? Which means, if you're holding that the gutter is not an issue to yahid, it should be permissible even for me to put the bucket to the lip of it. What's the difference? So he goes, Amar Ibn Nachman, Acha b'mazchila, pachot m'shlosha samuch lagag askinan. We're talking about a case where the gutter is within three tefachim of the roof. If you look at your picture, in the art scroll again, you could see what we're talking about over here. Sometimes the mazchila is, you know, within three of the roof itself, right? And therefore, it's considered roof. It's considered shuti yachid. Dechol pachot megima samuch lagag, kegag damed. And anything within three tefachim of the roof is considered gag. And therefore, it's considered shuti yachid. So how could you go up there and put your bucket there, you take it from the Rishut Yahid and bring it back down to the Rishut Harabim? Tanya Nameache, we're going to bring a blight to support this. That what? That anything with three of the roof is considered roof. Omed Adam Rishut Yahid. Guy is standing in the Rishut Yahid. Umagbiya yado lemala me'asarat tefachim. Vefachot meshlosha samuch legag vekolet. Which means, it is permissible for a person that's standing in the Rishut Yahid. And he could lift his hands, and say he's on a roof, for example. He's on one roof, and he wants to take water from a roof that's adjacent to him, that also has this gutter system. So it says, "Umagbiya yado lemala ma'asrat tefachim." He puts his hand above asrat, that's still considered, he's not in the Rishut Rabim, right? He could stick his hand across, let's say, and out above the tent, and what? The water from the other guy's gutter will what? Fall into this guy's bucket. So you went from the Rishut Yahid to the Rishut Yahid. You didn't do anything. No problem. Lefachot mishlosha samuch lagag. Even if the gutter is within three of the gag, it's because the gutter is considered the Rishut Yahid. So what? You're also in the Rishut Yahid. So you're going from the Rishut Yahid to the Rishut Yahid. Vekolet. Ubevachal yitzaref. Oh, but we're not going to make, you can't do tziruf. Why can't you do tziruf? Because if you do tziruf, So now you're putting, let's say, the cup itself, right, at the lip, that's Reshut Yachid. Now you're transporting it to your Reshut Yachid. That's already forbidden. You're going from Reshut Yachid to Reshut Yachid, that's Asur. But it would be permissible if I didn't move from Reshut Yachid. I'm standing on my gag. I didn't move anywhere. I'm in the Reshut Yachid, and what? I just put my cup out, and the water just comes into it directly. I didn't make Akidah, I didn't make Hanaha. The water came in direct, but for me to put the cup there, I'm taking it from Reshut Yachid, right, the pipe, because it's within three of the gag, bringing it to my roof, that's going from Reshut Yachid to Reshut Yachid. That's Asur. You cannot go from one private domain to another. But what are you seeing in this Braita? That the whole issue is only when it's within three of the gag. Because when you have three of the gag, it's considered a Reshut Hayachid itself. Tanya Idach, another Braita that proved the same point. Lo Ya'amod Adam Reshut Yachid, V'yagmiya Yadol Emal Masrat Fahim. Same exact case, which means you cannot stand in the Reshut Yachid, again on the roof, right, and take the cup itself and bring it to the lip of the Mas'hila, because the Mas'hila is considered Reshut Yachid. Now you're bringing it back to your Reshut Yachid. You cannot go from Reshut Yachid to Reshut Yachid, but if I'm just holding my cup by me, and the water is just falling in, so therefore it's going to be Mutar. Comes the Gemara and says, but when it comes to the tzinor, do whatever you want. You want to be kolet, you want to be mitzaref, it is permissible. So the Gemara says, Tana, im yesh besinor dalid al dalid asur. Oh, but if the opening of the tzinor itself is 4x4, it's makom hashuv, so now it's going to be forbidden to be mitzaref. Why? Because it's as if you're taking from one domain to another domain. Now we have to analyze what's the taking from one domain to another domain when it's four tefachim. So let's read Rashi first. Uminat sinor mekol makom. This Rashi is actually on the Mishnah, but he gives us the maskana of the Gemara in the Mishnah. So we'll read that Rashi. Very important Rashi to get the Shitoti. Umenatzinom mekol makom. Klomar. Ben kolet, ben mitzaref. However, we want to get the water from the pipe. That's called the leader pipe. You could take the bucket, let it fall through the airspace. You could take the bucket, put it directly at the opening of it. Mutar. Mishum detzinol le'olam aruch. Because the tzinol is very long. V'yotzil reshut rabim. It's always in the Reshut Rabim. So you're never moving from one Reshut to another Reshut. You're standing in the Reshut Rabim. No matter where you're putting the bucket, it's always in the same domain. There's no lavud over here between the leader and the roof. The roof is all the way down. And since you're standing, you're the Mata Ma'asara as well, and the pipe as well, so you're on the same domain. But the Gemara says, establishes it, kishein befiv arba'a. It's only talking about where the mouth of the sinor does not have four tefachim. Now, velo gazinan atu echad di'it be'arba'a. Which is that we're not going to make a gezerah that when it's less than four, gezerah to the case where it is four. Why? Di'ina me'it be'arba'a. Because even if it had four, karmelitu. It's only a karmelit. Why? Delo gavoa asara. Because the pipe is all the way down, right? The pipe is within 10. So what's the law? Anything that's within 10, right? That is less than, that is four tefachim wide, is considered what? A karmelit. And therefore, even if you would take from the pipe is only a karmelit. It's only going to be isur, midrabbanan. So I'm not going to make a gezerah that a pipe that has less than four is going to be a suit to a pipe that has four. Because even if it has four, it's only a status of a karmelit. So Rashi continues, here's the key part of Rashi. Umeshum ache, nakat matnitin gabim mazhila lemata ma'asara. Let's go back to the first case, by the gutter case, by the mazhila case. What did it say? You're allowed to be kolet. Right, and the Mishnah's lashon was koleta min ha'mashchila lemata ma'asarat tefachim, which means the guy standing lemata ma'asarat tefachim. He's standing below time machines. He's on the ground, yeah, and he's just catching it. He's in the Reshut Rabim. He's catching it. Why did it say that case? Mishum deba'el lemitni u'minatzinor mikol makom. Because the Mishnah knows it's going to continue by saying that when it comes to Tzinor, it's permissible in all cases. And if we're talking about where you're putting the cup above Asara, lo mishteret siruf atzinor. Siruf would be forbidden. Why? Let's analyze. If it's less than four, let's say, right? If you're going to go put the cup up, right? So now, really, it's not a issue the oraita. Less than four, so the tzinor is considered a karmelit. So therefore, it shouldn't make a difference technically where you put the cup. But the Gemara says, she says no. If you put the cup, the bucket, let's say, higher, it's going to be asur even less than four. Why? So he says, gezerah tu sur shemaviv arba, dekama pik meshut yachin meshut rabim. Because if it has four, right? Now, when your bucket is up, you're in the meshut yachid, right? So now, the pipe itself is considered the meshut yachid because it's high. Okay? So since it's high, it's in the meshut yachid area, right? And it has four, has the shiur of the shuti, 10 by 4. And now what? When you stick the bucket up, you're in the shuti yahid. Now you're going to pull it down to drink, you're in the shuti rabim. You're going from one shuti to another shuti. So when it comes to haklata above 10 is asur, even if it's less than four, because it can come to an isur, doraita. Mm-hmm. However, haklata below 10, you have no problem. Because the worst thing, if it's four, it's only a karmelit. And therefore you're only going from the Rabbanan to the Reshut Rabim. So we didn't make a gezerah less than four, atu four. But that's why the Mishnah to give the first case where we're talking it less than 10. Why? Because we want to give the case of Minat Sinor Mikol Makom. Now I give you the halachot. Person is, has the roof. You have the Mazhila. Mazhila, to make a klata, is going to be siruf, let's say, is always forbidden. Why? Because to go to the, if it's within three. If it's within three of the roof, it's considered a shuti yahid. So you're taking from it a shuti yahid, and you're going to the shuti rabim to drink. Obviously that's going to be hayav. That is always asur by a mazhila that's within three of a gag. What about haklata? So the Mishnah says, well, haklata is permissible. And what are we talking about? His bucket is off the... You know, he's in the Reshut Rabim. It's less than 10. We're standing in Reshut Rabim. So it's going through the air of the Reshut Yahid even, to the airspace, which is considered Makom Petur, right? Because it's above the Reshut Rabim now, and it falls into his bucket, so you're not going to have a problem. That would be Mutar. Or by a Tzinor, whether you put the bucket directly there, or whether you let it, the air, the Aklata, permissible. But when is this talking about? Only when it is less than... less than four, which means when it's less than four, it's permissible. But if the opening of the sinor is four itself, asur. Oh, why don't you make a gezerah less than four, atu four? So Rashi says, actually you will. But only in the case of haklata lemala ma'asara. Because there you can come to an isur de oraita. Because if you're going above asa, you're in the shuti yahid. And if in the case where the sinor is four, it's also considered now, you're taking from the Reshut Yahid, and you're bringing it down to the Reshut Harabim. So therefore, less than four will be Asur, Atu, four. But Haklata will always be permissible. Which means, not Haklata, which means, in the case of less than four, and you're Lemata Me'asara, it's not a problem. Even less than four is permissible, because even if it was four, it would only be a Karmelit, and therefore, it would be only Yisud Rabban, so we're not going to be Kuvir. And that's why the Mishnah, in the first case, gave a case of lemata ma'asara, in order to show that that's the case that's going to be permissible by a sinor. Because if you want lemata ma'asara, you're in the shuta yahid. Therefore, we're going to osir even pachot midalid atu dalid itself. Comes the next mishnah, bor b'rishut rabim. Okay, a case that we had. We probably have a picture of this in your picture books. But we know the case, basically. You have a bor that's in the public domain. You have a chulya. Chulya is the digging of the bor itself, right? And it's on the side of the bor itself. It is 10 tefachim. Now, if you have a bor, the bor is considered a reshut yachid, if it's 10 deep and it's 4 wide. Now, if you have the diggings that you took out of the bor and it's on the side of it, so now the Mishnah is saying it's also 10 tefachim. Good, so that's also considered the chaura eidishut hayachid. Halon she'al gabav. They have a window above. Mimal'in hemenu b'shabbat. You can draw from it on Shabbat, meaning you draw from the well, you bring it up, and you bring it into the window. We'll see exactly how that's possible. Ashpa b'rishut rabim. You have a garbage dump in the rishut rabim. Gavu asrat tefahim. Also, it's 10 high. Halon she'al gabav. You have a window. Shofchin letocha mayim b'shabbat. You go the other way now. Now you're able to pour your garbage from the window into the ashpa. Now the Gemara is going to explain. Comes the Gemara and says, "Bemay askina." What's the case exactly over here? Idema b'smucha. If we're talking about the well that you want to draw from on Shabbat, is next to your window. Simucha meaning it's within four tefahim of your window. Lama li chulya yud. What do you have to say that on the side of the bor you had a chulya of yud? If it's less than four tefahim, it's permissible in all cases. Why? Rashi. Inema b'smucha. She'abor smucha nakotel b'tok arba'at avim. Exactly. You have a very small little area between the house and the bor. Lama li chulya asara. Bor gufe reshut yachid. The bor itself is considered reshut yachid. V'amuka asara. V'en reshut rabim mafsekin b'entayim. Which means you don't have a reshut rabim between the bor and the house. Less than four tefachim, that area that you're going to draw the water out is going to be considered a mekom petur. So therefore, what's your problem? You can draw the water from the well, you're bringing it up, right? Now you're going from the airspace above the well into the window. Now, since that area is very small, it's not a considered shut rabim. Nobody goes to a small little area of less than four tefachim. So therefore, it's considered mekom petur. So therefore, what are you worried about? What? You should definitely be allowed to draw the water from the well into your house. So what do you have to start making a case where you have a well and you have a bank on the side of it that's 10 tefachim? What do you need that for? If it's less than 4 tefachim, just go straight from the well into the house. So the Gemara says, that's not the case. We're talking about where you have 4 tefachim space. Oh, if you have 4 tefachim space, so now that area is the Shut Rabim. People walk in that area. The Tamadi ka Chulya Asara. So the Hiddush is, now you have, let's say, Chulya Asara. Now let's analyze. If the Chulya is Asara, the bank is Asara, it's considered a Shut Hayachid. Correct? Mm. Now, so when you're going from the well, which is a Shut Hayachid, you're going over the embankment now of Asara Tefahim, right? Over that airspace. Now when you're going above Asara Tefahim over there, so you're still in the Reshut Hayahid area, right? And now you're going over at four, but you're above 10 Tevachim. You're in a Mekom Petur. So therefore, no problem. So therefore, you never went to Reshut Rabim. By having that embankment on the side, it protects you from ever having to go through Reshut Rabim. Again, let's say how. You went to the well, you draw it up, right? Now you're over the embankment. Embankment is 10. Now, obviously, you have to lift it above 10. Right? You got to get it higher to bring it to your window. Once you're above 10, and now I'm bringing it over, oh, I'm within the Reshut Rabim airspace now. You're not in the Reshut Rabim airspace. Because in the Reshut Rabim airspace, it only goes up to 10. Above 10 is considered Mekom Petur, and you bring it straight into your window. So the Gemara says, Ha'leka Chulya Asara. Oh, but if you didn't have this embankment of 10, Kamitaltel Mereshut Yachid, Reshut Yachid, Derech Reshut Rabim. Because if you don't have the 10 embankment, what happens? You take it from the well, you bring it right over the airspace of Reshut Rabim into your Reshut Yachid. So Gemara says, "V'Rabbi Yohanan Amar Afilu Tema B'Smucha." He says, "Nah, you can even tell me we're talking about it's the board is close to the window." So what's the Hadush? Kamashmalan the board v'Chulyato Mistarfim La'Asara. Side point, the Mishnah is coming to teach you that to make a board Reshut Yachid, don't think the board itself has to have depth of 10. That's for sure. If the board has a depth of 10 and it's wide 4, no she'ela. Hiddush is that what? Let's say the board is 5. But the embankment is 5 also. So the embankment now gives the well a 5 extra depth. Hiddush is, to make it a shuta yachid, you can consider board v'chulyato to mitzaref. Which means you're right. There's no chidush to gabe the carrying. Because for sure you're going from a reshut yachid. This is not a reshut rabim over here. It's less than four. No one goes in that area. So therefore you're going from reshut yachid, derech mekom petur to reshut yachid. No problem. Chidush of the Mishnah, yeah, that how is your board in reshut yachid? Through tziruf. Through using board and chulya. That's my point. So it comes out over here, according to the first way we're learning the Mishnah, no, the embankment was actually 10. And only when the embankment is 10, it's going to be okay. Why? Because we're talking about an area of 4 tefachim between the window and the bor. That area is considered a shoot, harabim. Why? It's wide. It's wide enough at least for people to walk by. So therefore it's a shoot harabim. So the only reason it's being mutar is because you have the embankment. Now let's say you didn't have the embankment. You can go straight from the well, right in the airspace of the shoot harabim. You're right over the shoot harabim. And you can go get the house. The embankment causes you to lift the bucket above 10. So now you're going above 10 over the reshut rabim. You're considering the mekom petur. You got no problem. You put it straight into your window. So you went from reshut to yachid to reshut to yachid. The Gemara goes one step further. Ashpa. What's the ashpa case? The garbage dump. Reshut rabim. So what do we say? The garbage that says reshut to yachid. It's 10 high, 4 wide. You can throw your garbage from your window into the ashpa. Velo hayshina shebatinatin ashpa. We're not worried that the ashpa might get lower. What happens if the ashpa gets lower? Let's say the garbage men come and they clean out the garbage dump. Oh, so now already becomes less than 10, so it can become, let's say, like a karmelit. So now you're throwing from your window, they shoot the yachid to a karmelit. How come you don't suspect to that? You don't suspect. There was a story. Bimavui. Echad. Yada mavui, which is a alley. Shitsido echad kalala yam. One side of the mavui, there was the yam, water. V'tzido echad kalil ashpa. And the other side was considered the garbage dump. Now let's analyze. There's your three walls, by the way. You have a mavui. It's open to the shut rabim. One side is water. That's a wall. One side is ashpa. That's a wall. The shut yachid. Yeah? Then you have the hatzir. That's wall number three. So they just put a lehi. In the fourth open wall to the shut rabim. Look at your picture books. You see it in the art scroll. Right, you have the picture over there. Here it is. You have your mavui. One side ashpa. One side water. One side open. One side the hatserot itself. So therefore the deen is the chaurat should be enough just to put a lehi on the fourth wall. And you can carry in the mavui. You have a picture in your books. What number is that? 350. You see it in the books. So let's get the case again. Ravin barav adam barabi yitzak ma'asib and mavui yahad. שצידו אחד כלל הים, וצידו אחד כלל האשפה. הוא בא מעשה לפני רבי, ולא אמר בו, לא איסור ולא היתר. רבי said, I'm not going to answer you. I can't tell you it's מותר, I can't tell you it's אסור. Why? היתר לא אמר בו, דעי שנצמא תנטל אשפה. He's worried that, how can I say מותר? What's going to happen if now, on Shabbat, they're going to lower the אשפה? The garbage men come now, and the אשפה gets lowered, now you don't have a wall over there. Now already it's only considered a wall if it's 10 high, four wide. If they lower it, so already there's no wall over there. V'ya'ale ha'yam shilton. And it was also, he's worried about, the only time you have, the yam is considered a wall, is if, let's say, it's ten tefachim deep. But let's say, some sand and some rocks, they wash up, and now, it's not going to cause a depth of 10 at the ocean, at the foot of the wall. So therefore, he was worried about these things. He says, you know what? I can't tell you it's mutar. How? So he says, Isur lo amar bo. But he also didn't say Isur. Why? That kind of mechizot. He's not going to say Isur. Bottom line right now, you have it. But what do you see over here? Rabbi was concerned about an ashpa changing its status. So therefore, how could you tell me in the Mishnah that I could throw stuff out of my window on Shabbat into the ashpa because I'm going from the shoot right to the shoot to yachid? How could you say that's permissible? Maybe the ashpa is going to change its status just like you see the bee was choshesh. So comes the Gemara and says, had the Yachid, had the Rabim. It depends. Depends if it's private or public. In a private, where there's limited garbage, because there's only one guy, let's say, limited people, so therefore your Hashish, it might change. But the Rabim, people are always throwing their garbage in. And therefore, there is no suspicion. Our Mishnah was talking about Rabim. Since you're talking about a beam, it's always going to maintain its height, and therefore it's always going to be the shoot, had a beam. I'm sorry, the shoot, Hayahid. But the case of Rabbi was talking about Yahid. Therefore, he was concerned that on Shabbat it might change. Let's just read the Rashi. Rashi says, let's read one Rashi. Velo Haishinan Shema Tinatel Ashpa. Vitaramod al Pahot Miyud. Vatel Mishre Be Name Kedmikara. Which is, you're worried about that the status might change, and the people are not going to know it changed. And they're going to still be throwing out of their window. Kama Shvalan, since it's Rabbim, there's no assumption of that, because it's always maintain its level, and therefore it's going to be Mutar. Amen.